Holden Kushner, Denver CityCast, Bet Rivers Network. Lots going on here. We've got some unruly fans that might get sports bettors in trouble. Talk about that in just a moment. Plus, the Nuggets heading into the playoffs. They've got a few days off. We don't know the opponents, but I do want to look at how this team is set up heading into round one of the playoffs. Plus, the Rockies. I've got three bets on tonight's games. And the Avalanche, they are closing in on a division crown. Ian St. Clair, Play Colorado, playcolorado.com, joins me to talk some Avs, as well as my first topic here. Now, it used to be that fantasy football players would harass a real football player on social media. It happens once in a while. An athlete would get triggered. He'd respond to a fan, and the player says he doesn't care about your fantasy team, and then we all move on. I think the stakes, though, have now been taken up a notch, and it's unfortunate, but this is happening. With legalized sports betting, I've seen a couple of professional athletes complain about negative fan reactions when they lose bets, and the latest, the most high-profile incident is one involving Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal, okay, who I know a little bit. I've got a chance to know, especially when he was coming into the league. Pretty mild-mannered guy. But the cops began investigating him. A fan inside a tunnel down in Orlando started yelling at Beal. He lost a wager on Beal, and he said, "You've effed me out of $1,300. And then he called him another name on top of that. And Beal ended up knocking the hat off the heckler's head, or one of the guys that's around him. Okay. Cops took the report. They said it was for battery. And this thing has just spiraled out of hand. So Beal said, he went to the podium and he said, "I understand losing money. It stinks." Quote unquote, "I go to casinos. I gamble. I understand that. But I also understand it's probably a 99% chance I'm going to lose." All right. We'll get into that in a second too. I'm not sitting here about to get angry at the dealer or angry at everybody else. And this is the way that sports bettors need to start looking at this. Not that there's a 99% chance you're going to lose. You got to look at it like, hey, it's my fault. It's not their fault. Beal also said, "Nobody wants to lose money. I get it. I think when people start getting personal, talking about your family, your character, your integrity toward the game, I think all that, we can save it." So Beal's not been charged. There is a police probe ongoing. But here are my thoughts on this. And again, it could get pretty serious. So sports fans, sports betting fans, we need to start looking at this. Look at yourself and your own behavior. First of all, just to throw it out there, not a 99% chance you're going to lose your money. But I get Beal's point. It's gambling. Things outside of your control are going to happen. And if you bet a sport and you bet more than once, you probably lost the bet. Number two, it is a privilege that we can legally sports bet in so many states. Thank God it's here in Colorado. It has been so much fun. This kind of fan behavior, though, is going to be used by those who oppose sports betting, and it's either going to stifle more states from legalizing it, or you never know. Maybe this bad fan behavior gets so bad where we have physical incidents, we have law enforcement getting involved more often. There's ugly incidents. There's national debates on whether or not it should be even legal. We don't want it getting there. It could be a headache for everyone involved. And whether you're a professional sports bettor listening to this, or you just love me, or you're a casual sports bettor, this should be on your radar. Now, the next point I want to make, losing money sucks. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes it. If you gamble, though, it's going to happen. I get frustrated with players and coaches all the time. All the time. Ultimately, though, I know the bet is my bet. And if people are tailing me on these picks, you know what? You can get upset at me a little bit. But ultimately, I don't want to hear you getting personal. And you are the one that made the decision to make the bet, to tail the bet or not to tail the bet. You're the one responsible for the bet. I'm the one responsible for my bet. The athlete's just trying to do his job, not win you money. Fourth point I want to bring up. You want to get on a guy for being bad that day? Go for it. But leave betting out of it. Your domain is betting, not his. Hey, Beal, you stink. That's fine. He can go on. Beal, you cost me a lot of money. Move on. That's where you stop it. I'm okay with a better at a game saying, hey, Beal, hey, Jokic, you cost me money tonight. But that's where it stops. That, to me, is where the line is. You want to bring it up? Fine. You want to start calling names? You want to get in a guy's face? Completely out of line. Completely out of line. Fifth point here. Athletes, though, they need to realize they're benefiting from sports betting, too. Owners make more money. Leagues make more money. And ultimately, that's going to trickle down to the players and their salaries. And it's an annoyance that they're going to have to learn to deal with. Because unless this thing goes and completely spirals out of control, where fans are being completely irresponsible over and over and over and over again, they're just going to have to deal with it, just like everything else. They are not immune to it. Fans buy tickets. They go to games. They're going to scream at the players. That's their right. You just can't go past the line. You're going to sit at home. You're going to watch the game. You're going to head to social media. You're going to say something. There's going to be a line that you cross, though. You can't cross that line. And number six, I think the very interesting point here is out of Ohio, there is a bill there. If you're betting in our state and we find out you're talking crap to an athlete, you get suspended from sports betting. And I think that reckoning could be coming. You say, what? You can get banned from sports betting? Yeah. Yeah. If in person you end up going at it with an athlete and it's found that you said something that was way over the line that triggered the athlete, yeah, you should be banned in that state. Absolutely. Absolutely. You're sitting at home and let's say Jamal Murray misses a three-pointer at the buzzer and you had the Nuggets on the money line, you send a tweet to Jamal Murray and it either has something to do with his family or you take a personal attack and you tie that into gambling. Well, I think you should get suspended from sports betting, at the least suspended, if not banned for maybe permanently, depending on what you did. So I'll say this in summation, a reckoning is coming. It should be coming. You need to take responsibility for your losing bet when it happens, just like I do and just like the majority of us do. But it's these incidents that I want to say are isolated, and they're just not that isolated anymore. It's going to get to a point to where the adversarial relationship between the athlete and the fan is going to be taken so far that we're going to have a physical incident. And once that happens, then all of the zealots, oh, betting, you see? Sports betting, it's bad for people. It's bad. They're going to come out of the woodwork, and there are going to be changes to sports betting, hopefully suspending the people that are causing the problems, hopefully not going farther than that to where they start taking away our privilege of being able to bet. And I think that is a doomsday scenario, but it's also a scenario that is in play because fans are not being responsible. Anyways, that is my spiel on fan behavior when it comes to sports betting. Let's move on. We've got the playoffs coming up. Two play-in games in the NBA. The Nuggets sitting back waiting to figure out which opponent they're going to have. We still don't know who they're going to play. As the one seed, they could play any of the four teams. Any of the four teams that are going in the play-in game. I think the one team you don't want to see is the Lakers. That'd be the one team you don't want to see, the Lakers. But they could play any of those four teams that are in there right now. Plus 800 for the Nuggets to win it all on Bet Rivers. Plus 300 to win the West. First playoff game, home on Sunday against one of the play-in teams. So some thoughts on this team heading into the playoffs. I'm feeling okay about it. I feel better about the Avs heading into the playoffs than I do with the Nuggets. But the regular season, I'm going to stand up for a second. Here you go. I'm standing. I'm applauding. And now I'm sitting down. A+. You clinch the number one seed. They got the number one seed in the West. Jokic, MVP again. If he doesn't win it, he's still MVP caliber. Had another great season. Murray, let's not forget, Jamal Murray, big question mark heading into the year. He stayed healthy, and he got better as the season progressed. Same for Michael Porter Jr. Aaron Gordon had one of his two best seasons in the league. Christian Brown showed that he's been ready to contribute since day one. What a great draft pick. So these are very, very good things that came out of the regular season. This team ultimately, though, is going to be judged on what they do now in April, in May, and hopefully just a little bit in June. You've got your starting five, which again, terrific season. Great to see that Murray could stay healthy and Porter Jr. could stay healthy. This was the ultimate, the absolutely ultimate dream of where this team was headed. And I'm a little bit surprised, to be perfectly honest with you. I didn't think Porter Jr. would make it through the season, but he did. But there's guys that are in the circle of trust and out of the circle of trust. And I want to look at those real quick. First of all, out of the circle of trust, Vlatko Chanchar and Thomas Bryant. Bryant has been a complete waste since they traded for him. So I don't plan on seeing him unless it's a massive blowout. What a horrible, horrible backup center he is. And Michael Malone's just looked at him and said, you got to ask him what his problem is. He has been awful. Chanchar was terrific at times this season. He was injured. And then he lost his job. So here's, I think they go 8, probably 9 deep. Maybe Watson makes it 10 deep when they need some energy. But the guy's coming off the bench, right? You got Jeff Green, you got Bruce Brown, you got Christian Brown. And going back to the starters real quick, hopefully KCP's legs, he gets them back under him. Lesser playing time down the stretch. Now he gets a week off. You saw the three-point shooting numbers down, down, down every single month to where he was flat out bad last month, shooting around 25% from three. Hopefully they get him going. He, to me, is the X factor. But off the bench, Brown and Brown, terrific. Christian has been the lockdown defender, their best defender, something I talked about early in the season. He needs to be playing 25 minutes per game. Bruce Brown, we know what Bruce Brown brings too. Green, Jeff Green, he's just ahead of Chanchar right now. First forward off the bench. Chanchar, again, he missed what? He missed four games. It was four games with a wrist sprain back in March. And since then, boom, Jeff Green's been there. So I think Chanchar's out of the circle of trust for now. Zeke Nnaji will probably be in the rotation at some point in time. Now he has to be the backup center. So the good news is he plays defense. He's very athletic. The bad news is they're going to have to play a lot of small ball when Jokic sits. And Jokic can't play 48 minutes a game. It's just not going to happen in a deep playoff run. He can't. He's going to have to sit, you know, 7-8 minutes a game at least. So they're in a worse position at backup center than they were last year with DeMarcus Cousins. That's a big issue. But I'll have a whole round one preview with Adam Mares from DNVR coming up on Thursday. Just wanted to talk about this rotation heading in, and I'm feeling okay about this team. They can beat anybody in the West. The issue would be Milwaukee, maybe Philadelphia, you know, maybe Boston. There are teams in the East that are just better as far as a roster goes than the Nuggets. But let's see if they can roll through the West. Do they have to play the Lakers? You don't want to have to see the Lakers in round one. Do they have to play the Suns in round two? It could be a very difficult run to where they need to get to be. Okay, let's get to the next point here. That would be on the Colorado Rockies. Those of you that like to bet baseball, it's been interesting. Yesterday, I had a buddy of mine, hey, Holden, you got to bet the over 11 and a half tonight. I said, I'm not betting over 11 and a half. I'm not doing it. I'll wait for a better number in game. And you didn't get a better number in game till it was too late. And these teams started scoring runs. And ultimately, it ended up at 11 and ended up going under. Now, before we get into tonight's game against the St. Louis Cardinals, Herman Marquez had tightness in his forearm. And that is not good. So he was taken out for precautionary reasons. There was a similar situation that happened in 2019. Marquez was shut down in August. and he came back healthy. You know, this team, if they want to remain any type of competitive this year, and I know that many of you look at it, they're not going to be competitive. Yeah, he's got to pitch. He's got to be a part of this team. So my best bet from this game is now over because I bet it an hour ago, and I've seen it's bet up all the way to 12 and a half. Holy moly. All right, so Cardinals-Rockies tonight. Here are the lines. Rockies, heavy dogs, plus 155. Plus 102 on the run line, and 12 and a half is the total. This thing opened at 11 and a half. I think everybody looked at the weather. They looked at the pitchers and they said, all right, we got to jack this up. So early morning, 11 and a half, about an hour ago. So I'm taping this around 9:45 on Tuesday morning. It was 12. Now it's 12 and a half. So I can't give out my best bet anymore. Full game over 11 and a half was my best bet, but I do have a couple other bets, so that's good. Rockies are 5-6 now. They beat the Cardinals 7-4 last night. Tonight, Miles Mikolas is going to the mound, and he's given up 5 earned runs in each of his first two starts. He struggled. He has been bad without Yadier Molina back behind the plate. And he also is pitching in a place where he throws to contact, and you don't want to be a contact pitcher here when it's warm. Okay? And he struggles here. He's been horrible. And the Cardinals' bullpen is thin. And I think that Miles Mikolas might just have to eat it tonight. He might have to eat it tonight, and that would be great for more runs being scored. For the Rockies and their bullpen, Justin Lawrence likely not available. He's worked the past 2 days. Cardinals facing left-hander Kyle Freeland. Our boy Freeland looking to stay hot. He hasn't given up a run in 12 and two-thirds innings over two starts. That could change tonight. St. Louis, one of the best teams in baseball against left-handers. I mean, they maul left-handers. Our boy Arenado, you got Goldschmidt, Jordan Walker, and Tyler O'Neill. So they have some bats there. Not playing good baseball, but offense, weather's warm, upper 70s, little crosswind. Yeah, there should be some runs tonight. Now, my best bet was going to be the full game over 11 and a half. I cannot recommend over 12 and a half. I just won't do it. The situation looks good, but Freeland could still pitch well at home. And the Rockies offense, for as great as you know it has been from time to time at Coors Field, 12 and a half runs is just too much. I could see it happening, but I'm going to axe that bet. So here's what I'm going to go with. I think Mikolas really struggles. And Kyle Freeland, not in a great spot against the Cardinals, but he knows how to pitch here at Coors. I like the Rockies first five money line at plus 125. Plus 125, Rockies first five money line. I'm going to give you a little fun same game parlay. And honestly, I do not put much money on these. I do it because it's fun, and that's about it. And sometimes you hit it. Basically, you hit one out of three, and often you're going to be in plus territory. But the fun same game parlay tonight, Rockies money line and over 10 runs is plus 275. I've got to think since this thing went up a full run, you'll probably get it at plus 250. So if you want to play a little same game parlay, Rockies money line over 10 runs, I got it at plus 275. The number shouldn't be too much worse if you throw it in now. Rockies first five money line plus 125. That means even if they tie through five innings, you still will get your money back. If they have the lead after five, you win. So let's just hope Freeland can out-duel Mikolas and the Rockies score more runs in the first five. So that's two show bets there. I do not have a bet on tonight's Avalanche game, but I will talk about it real quick, and then we'll get into it with Ian St. Clair. Avalanche closing in on winning the division, and I recommended betting the Avs to win the Central at plus money on several occasions on this show. And right now, with one game in hand, so they've played 79, Dallas and Minnesota have each played 80 with a game in hand. Colorado 104 points, Dallas 104 points, Minnesota 102. Now they face Edmonton tonight with 105 points, and they're trying to track down Vegas. They're 2 points behind Vegas in the Pacific. And also, by the way, Colorado 3 points behind Vegas to have the best record in the West. So for as challenging of a season as this has been, it's still looking pretty good for the Avs. So they host the Oilers tonight. The line's on Bet Rivers. Oilers favored at -115 here in town. Total bet up to 7. Juice to the under at -139. The over is +112. We've got 5 guys with 100-plus point scores in this game. On our side, McKinnon and Rantanen. On their side, McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins. The over is hit in the Avs' last 6 straight games. And dating back to last year's playoff series, the Avs have beaten the Oilers 6 straight, including both games this year, and both those games went into overtime. Ian St. Clair, he's back. Play Colorado, playcolorado.com. Does work with Mile High Report. Wonderful to catch you once again, Ian. And I think it was, what, maybe 5-6 weeks ago, you're like, hey, we got to get back on this Avs division to win the division bet. I believe it was +185 multiple times this season on the show, betting this team to win the division. How confident are you now as they are tied atop the division with a game in hand? And hello, my friend.
Hello. And I did. And I think it's going to come down to Tuesday night's game against the Edmonton Oilers. I think that's the most difficult of the three remaining. If the Avs are able to win this home game, beat Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and the Edmonton Oilers, they will win the division. I have no doubt they'll beat Winnipeg. They'll beat Nashville. If they beat Edmonton, they win the division.
Edmonton has not lost in regulation in a month. And the Avalanche have beaten them, what is it, like 6 straight times? This is going to be fascinating. Frankie's back, so Franzosa's back. I know you're still holding out hope for Landeskog at some point in time. But the good news is, after that horrible, I don't know, first half of the season, this team has just turned it on. How comfortable are you feeling with them right now? Because I don't feel as confident as last year, but I also know that this is the team that nobody wants to play.
Absolutely. Boston doesn't want to play this team because it's the best road team in the NHL. They can go on the road and beat any team in the National Hockey League. And that's the mark of a great team. And it's also a team that knows when it plays its best, it can beat anybody. And that's where you need Gabe Landeskog. You need the leadership on the team, Josh Manson, Eric Johnson, and even Jared Bednar to an extent, to remind this team, if you play your game, if you play with an aggressive forecheck, if you don't try to be cute in your own zone and get the puck out, you can beat any team in the National Hockey League and win your second straight cup. I think the key with this team is getting guys back from injury. Whether it's Gabe Landeskog, which admittedly probably not going to happen for game one, but I've been around and watched enough National Hockey League games to know when teams are not being as upfront and honest about guys, because you can see it with your eye test. Gabe Landeskog is skating so much better than when he took the ice at the end of February for the first time. But you're going to get Laikkanen back. You're going to get Josh Manson back. They're holding out Cale Makar so he doesn't increase his leg injury. I think Darren Helm is going to be back. And we've seen just in the few games that he's been back, that line that I told you was tantamount and paramount to them winning the cup last year, of Darren Helm, Logan O'Connor, and Andrew Cogliano. We've seen what that line does, because it completely flips the momentum and the energy for that team. They get those guys back, they're going to win the cup. There is no doubt in my mind. They will beat any team in the West. I don't think Vegas gets past Edmonton in the second round. Colorado's going to beat both teams, whoever they play in the first round, look likely Seattle. And then you have Dallas and Minnesota to hammer it out in the first round. So just like last year with Seattle, with St. Louis and Minnesota. So this team is poised to do it again. And I have so much confidence in this team, because you look at the way McKinnon and Rantanen are playing, and then Cale Makar, it's just, I have confidence that they're going to win their second straight cup.
Good. Because if that happens, then we're all going to win a lot of money with all our futures. Let's get this division wrapped up first, though. Exactly. And then tonight against the Oilers, these two teams just score at will, right? So you would think that the over 6.5, over 7 looks pretty good. I'm expecting a ton of goals. Any lean tonight, whether it be a win or the total on tonight's game?
I'm leaning towards the Avs, and I'm leaning towards them coming out fired up. Because you look at the way they played the first two periods against Anaheim, where they got a two-goal lead, and then they allowed four unanswered goals, and they had to make a miraculous comeback to win in overtime. They're going to come out fired up. There's going to be so much energy in this building at Ball Arena tonight. It's going to feel like a playoff game. It's going to be like game one. I'm not going to predict a game like game one last year where the Avs just completely steamrolled Edmonton, but I'm going to say that it's going to be the same kind of emotion and energy and fantastic play from Colorado because they know it's at stake.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about fan behavior and athletes, and athletes starting to fight back, I would say, against fans. We have the Bradley Beal situation where, you know, the guy said, "Hey, Beal, you cost me a whole bunch of money." He got fed up with it, hit his hat or something, just something stupid like that. And it used to be, Ian, and I still think it is, especially on social media, where football players were, "Guys, I don't care about your fantasy team anymore." I think what sports betting has done is it's expanded, you know, that NFL window where the NFL players were getting at it. And now it's the NBA. And I think it's coming to baseball. And while I don't want to say it's going to stop, you know, the advancement of sports betting across the country, this is a problem that needs to be nipped in the bud right now. Because if there is a serious issue, I think that more states will be hesitant to accept legal sports betting. And B, everybody that wants to fight it where it's already legal, and it's going to be tough to overturn because money speaks the most. You know, these are just going to be more things, more ammunition that people can use to fight against sports betting. Do you find this to be a legitimate problem right now, or are these just isolated incidents?
It's a legitimate problem, and it's a growing problem. And I think, as you said, it needs to be nipped in the bud. And this is what I think needs to happen. Regulators need to find out who is doing it and ban them from betting. They get blackballed. They cannot bet on sports. If you're going to act so immaturely that you threaten somebody over a losing bet, you're not mature enough to bet. It's not for you. You're banned. And that's it. That's the only way that you're going to be able to nip this in the bud, is to have regulators step up, have their IT departments work with the social media departments. Even if it's an attack on social media, you're banned. You're not mature enough to bet. This is for mature people. This is for adults. This isn't for children. If you're going to go after an athlete because a bet loses, you shouldn't be betting, and you should be banned. End of story.
Yeah, and I think that there's going to be different levels to that too. Like, if some guy goes on Twitter and he's upset because Aaron Gordon missed the dunk and he killed his player prop, and he just says, "Hey, Gordon, you suck. You should have hit that. You should have slammed the ball home." I don't think you're going to go out and do anything about that. But when it goes over the line, whether it's a physical or a physical attack, or at a game, or if you're threatening someone physically, there's got to be a line, and then we can ban these people. Because I think that's a great idea. The question is the nuance, and what is going over the line that's going to get you banned?
I think it needs to be a no. There needs to be, what's the word I'm looking for here? There needs to be no exceptions in my mind. There needs to be no exceptions. They need to send a message, because if they're going to act like children, you have to treat them like children. Because if you give them rope, they're going to take advantage of it. It's just, you keep letting them do it, they're going to go to that line. But and then they'll say, "Well, I didn't cross your line." There needs to be no exceptions. There needs to be no exceptions when it comes to telling Aaron Gordon or whoever it is, just because they missed a dunk, there is no exception to going after them and saying something like that.
But you can't say you suck for doing that?
No, I don't think so. Because there needs to be some adult behavior in this.
Yeah.
There needs
to be. This is a great debate then, because you and I are on different sides. I mean, if you're going to go after a player, and I'll just use someone else like Russell Wilson, we won money because Russell Wilson was so bad last year. But, you know, there were also times where he was so horrible that people got upset at him. I don't think sending him a message on Twitter, "Hey, Russell Wilson, you suck," because that's not something that should get you banned from that. Not to me. I think that's a little too trigger happy, Ian.
I think it's from the point of view of the regulator, where you need to send a message. You need to send a message that, yeah, you're sending a message that you suck, but it's also because you're not adult enough to know that bets are going to lose. If you can't inherently know that and know that a bet is going to lose, you shouldn't be betting. Like, you can get frustrated. You can don't go to the route of some other people and taking a bat to a table. That's talk about non-responsible gambling behavior, but we don't need to go down that route. But to me, it's just branches of the same tree, and there needs to be no exceptions. I think operators, regulators, and legislatures need to take the same approach and just say, no, we're not going to accept any kind of this behavior because it's the same thing. If you're going to go this route, what's to say you're not going to take the next step and make it a physical threat? Or if you see this person in public, it's not going to be a physical threat. There needs to be no exceptions in my mind, because that's the only way that you're going to root out the problem.
All right, last thing for you. I was going to talk some Nuggets with you, but I know you got a big trip, and then I got to get on with my life too. So I want to talk to you about the Broncos. It has been quiet for the last couple of weeks, and now Sean Payton's coming in. They've got their offseason workouts coming. I love the Samaje Perine signing. I saw a couple of his quotes, how he's excited about coming here too. I'm excited. I'm more excited about the playoffs with the Avs and the Nuggets, but I'm also excited a little bit. What is standing out to you right now as we've got these offseason workouts coming up?
The fact that it's all about getting into shape. I think one of the things that has been so glaringly obvious the last 4 to 5 years is how the training, conditioning, and medical team for the Broncos has just been so abhorrently bad.
Mm-hmm.
And now the whole focus for like the first month of this is just getting into shape and just lifting weights and running and conditioning and training your body, which Sean Payton has said, that's our focus is going to be the first couple of weeks. It's not even going to be on the field. And I think that's important. I think that's the most important thing, because these guys know how to play football, and they now have a coaching staff that's going to put them in a position to have success. Now you also have a training and conditioning staff that's going to be able to get them in a position to learn and do what Sean Payton and this coaching staff wants. So that's my biggest takeaway. And the second is the offensive line. To get Powers and to get McGlinchey, you've set yourself up now to have two of the best at their positions. You've solidified your offensive line. They should be able to do that. We'll see in the draft with their minimal amount of picks. But I'm excited to see what Sean Payton has done. I've told you that this is who I wanted from the beginning after I fought my gut and started going after some other guys. But I think Sean Payton is the guy to get this team back, this franchise back to where Broncos country wants it to be.
All right, my friend, plug everything you're doing. Mile High Report, obviously. And then our friends over at Play Colorado.
Mile High Report. We're going through all the potential draft prospects that Sean Payton, George Payton, and the Broncos could potentially target. And we'll keep going that route through the draft. And then over at playcolorado.com, we'll have the latest on sports betting, casinos, lottery. And with the tax season coming up, we should have a tax breakdown. We have a tax page on how you can go about filing your sports betting wins with the IRS for the potential tax breaks that you could get from it. So,
oh, good. That's actually going to help, because I got a couple of forms this year that I get to fill out. I don't like paying taxes, but it's also a little validating, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Especially knowing the water crisis that we have, and it's going to continue to be. And part of that money from the taxes goes to water conservation in Colorado. So that's a big reason why sports betting passed almost 3 years now.
Thank you very much, my friend. Thanks to Melissa and Adam and Terry behind the scenes as well. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Holden Radio. We'll have a Nuggets full playoff preview coming up on Thursday's show. And again, this Rockies game tonight should be a good one.
Thanks for listening to the Denver City Cast on the BetRivers Network.